Okay, we're in Perek Vav over here. Haman just came and told the king. The king obviously has his suspicions on Haman, thinking to himself, he's clearly trying to take over. If you have a Haman v'yomel ha'melech, and the king said to Malos, "Be yishar melech chavetz bikaro." What should I do with a guy, you know, that the king desires to honor? V'yomel Haman b'libo. Now this was a test, and the test was how Haman was going to react. And he says, "V'yomel Haman b'libo, lemiach potz melech lasis yikar yozimani." Who would the king want to desire to give honor to more than me? Because that's the way the Russia thinks. The Russia thinks that it's only me. There's nobody else around. Who else could it possibly be?
And that's the source you say that b'libo. That it's written by Ruach.
Yeah, this is one of the six answers of the Gemara in Megillah, why he said that he had to have done it by Ruach HaKadosh. So this is one of those answers, which makes sense, right? How would they know it? But the Gemara rejects it, and the Gemara says maybe they thought this is obviously what Haman was thinking. You know, that's not an automatic, that's what it says. So, Vayomer Haman Ol HaMelech, and Haman said to the king, Apostle Zion, Ish Asher HaMelech HaBeit Bikro, the man that the king desires to honor, I love it, he's like sort of like slowly going through, you know, Yavi Levush Malchus, bring Levush Malchus, your Levush Baal Melech, the king wore himself. And a horse that the king rode upon. And he put the crown of the kingdom on his head. And give it to one of the officers. He should dress up the manager that the king wants to honor. Ride him on the horse throughout the streets of the city of Karlofan of Kalcho. This is what you should do to the man the king desires to honor. Now, Haman, what's the mile into this? What is Haman thinking over here?
So this
he's trying to take over the kingdom, right? Obviously. Okay, yeah, that's what you do to show that you're so chashu. But what's the mile over here that you're doing? Well, it's obvious. If you have the name of, you know, of that guy, you know the cell phone number of the president of the United States, right? So you're able to do, you can call and you can text whenever you want. It's like you're honored. You're automatically, you're known as like the big guy. So from now on, anybody who wants to do business will do business with you. Anybody who needs anything will go to you. It's not just fame. It's fortune. It's awesome honor, right? All of this is going together with one. Meaning, someone could say, give me $1 million. Right?
He doesn't need the money, though.
But who says? Like, yeah, money is good, but then it goes and whatever it is. But if you give me pure honor and you show that I am the next in command in the kingdom, then everyone will listen to absolutely everything I say. That's what he's saying. And then I'll make tons of business deals on the side. I'll do everything else like that. That's the idea behind it. Now, as a side note, by the way, I had a friend who was once going through Bnei Brak and collecting money on Purim. And a guy said to him, if you can tell me the name of Ahasuerus' horse, and I will give you a check for $1,000. It was a Bnei Brak, you know, it's pretty impressive. The guy said, Shifragaz. That is the name. It's mentioned in Targum Sheni. His name was Shifragaz. The only reason I remember it is because it sounds like Supergaz, right? So it's 100% that's the way to be able to remember it. But that was the name of the horse itself, which is interesting that Targum Sheni felt it was important enough to be able to go through. Anyway, Vayomer HaMelech HaHaman, the king said to Haman, Maher. As we said many times before, this word maher, the quickly, take the levush and the susak, like you spoke about. Say kain la Mordechai Yehudi Yosheb Shar HaMelech. Do it to Mordechai Yehudi that's sitting by the gate of the king. I'll topple down Mikol Shadivartu. Do not lose anything that you just said. Do exactly as you're supposed to do over here. And that's why. And Achashverosh is telling Haman, listen over here, I want to make sure that you get everything. The reason why I want you leading the horse to the city is because I don't trust anybody else with all my honor. And obviously, Ahasuerus is already looking at him like, I think he's trying to take over the kingdom and trying to be together with my wife and trying to do all these things on the side, right? But he said, that's the reason why I'm going over everything else. So Haman tried getting at it. First, he said, there are many Mordechais in the city. He said, I mean Mordechai the Jew. He said, there are many Mordechai the Jews. He said, the Mordechai the Jew that's sitting by the gate, right? Everything like that, it keeps going all the way through. So now, he went all the way through, and he said, you can't let a commoner like Mordechai, right, get up and put on top of the horse and whatever like that. Mordechai's poor. It's going to be very, very sad. It's going to be something that he doesn't deserve. He tried to get out of it, but absolutely not. The king said, no more delay, and that's that. Now,
yeah, but that doesn't make any sense, because wasn't he part of the court? He's not some...
Mordechai was part of the court, but he wasn't somebody who was chashuv. Chashuv enough to speak to the queen, but never to get close enough to the king. So that's what Haman was saying. He's like, he doesn't deserve to be able to get stuff like this, and how could it possibly be? Okay. Even so, it's part of the Medrash that Haman actually asked to die rather than do this in front of Mordechai. And Ahasuerus said, I'm not against that as well. It just happens to be right now, this is what I want you to do, and he went ahead and did it. Now we know this. Vayikach Haman is levush, that's the source. Vayalbish is Mordechai, he dressed up Mordechai there. Kivei uvarcho v'yir v'yikro l'fan kochi yisali shar melech yifetz b'yikaro. Now we know a bunch of things over here. Mordechai was already davening, and he was together with all these different talmidim, and he was either davening with them or teaching them, whatever it was, the Hilchos Kamicha and stuff like that. So bunch of different answers over here, but according to the Gemara, he's teaching them Hilchos Kamitza. Haman came by and immediately told the kids, everybody run. He got up and he started davening, right? He started davening in order to whatever it was. He thought it was his last moments and Haman was about to kill him. Haman waited for him to finish davening, right? He finished. He turned to him and he said, "What do you need from me?" Haman said, I've been told that I have to take you on a horse and whatever. And he told him the whole thing. So Mordechai, like, obviously, I would assume, laughed a little bit, right? And said, this is very, very interesting. So he said, what did you learn about? He said, I taught them about Hilchos Kemitza. He said, Kemitza, it's over. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Mordechai said, Mhera, Yibona, Beis HaMikdash, and everything will be there, and we have to learn about Hilchos Kemitza again. So Haman said, your tiny little bit of flour was mevatel everything that I was able to do. The 10,000 shikli kesef that I gave to the hands of Mordechai itself. So then, he had a big problem. He had to cut his hair, because he was already in mourning, right? He had all the sackcloth on and everything like that. You can't go put on the king like that. Now, granted, he had only been in mourning for 3 days, right? That's that. But Mordechai did look a little disheveled, especially because he'd been fasting for the last 2.5 days, right? It had not been very, very easy on him, and he didn't look so great. So he said, all right, we got to get you a haircut. So he took them all up to all the barbers, and for some reason, I don't know how this happened, but Esther closed every barber shop in the city, knowing that Haman was or used to be a barber. In fact, the Ben Ish Chai is a grape shot, and by Yisapir Haman, Zeresh Ishto, it said that he gave a haircut to Zeresh's wife. As he was giving the haircut, that's when he was discussing everything. But because of that, Haman was the one who gave the haircut to Mordechai. He sighed as that happened. Mordechai said, what are you sighing about? He said, Haman said, look at how important I am, and all this, right, and now I'm giving a haircut to such a person. So he said, Russia, this is what you used to do. Never take back. This is your old job over here. The haircut was finished. He had to get up on the horse. Mordechai said, I can't climb up on the horse. I'm too weak from my fasting. So what did Haman do? He bent down, and Mordechai had to step up on him to go up on top of the horse. As he did so, he kicked him in the gut. So Haman said, doesn't it say, b'mfol aydecha al tismach? When your enemy falls, you're not supposed to be happy. Apparently, he did know a little bit of Torah, or this is his Malach speaking. To which Mordechai said, doesn't apply to Amalek. I don't care about Amalek. Doesn't apply to you whatsoever. Plus, you're my slave, so it doesn't make a difference whatsoever. And that is that. So either way, Mordechai got up there. They asked the question, Rechaim Volozhiner once. The Rishiv of the Mir. Chaim Shmulevitz, they asked him, what was Mordechai thinking when he was up on the horse? Chaim Shmulevitz said, how do I get back to the base matter? That is his thing the whole time. But Yoshev Mordechai al Shara Melech. But he went right back. Right after everything was done, he went back to the gate of the king. V'haman nidchat al beiso. Haman was nidchat, rushed home. Avil v'chafoi rosh. Mourning, right, and hiding his face. Why was he in mourning, according to the Gemara? Because his daughter had planned to throw stuff on top of Mordechai, thinking Mordechai was leading Haman through the streets, then realized it was Haman himself who she had thrown it upon, right, and immediately jumped out the window and caught and killed herself. So he was an avelus over that daughter. Vaisaper Haman was Zeresh Ishto, right over here, Vaisaper. It seems like Haman gave a haircut to Zeresh's wife. That might have been the minute back then that you shave your head when you're in mourning. Could have been that. Either way, but he told over to her, L'cholo Avav and all of his wives, L'shkol Shaklo, everything that happened. Vayomer lo Chachamav, Zeresh Ishto, all of his wise men and Zeresh's wife said, Imezer Yehuda Mordechai, Asher Achilosel and Pobofan of Losuchalo. If he really is from the Yehudim and you started to fall in front of him, you're never going to be able to defeat him. Kinafel Tipolov, Lefanov, you're now dead. There's nothing else you're going to be able to do. So that was a positive re-encouragement, statement from his family going around. He thought he was such in triumph and everything was all good and whatever it is. But he said, I don't understand what happened again today. So they said, yeah, well, the stars have changed and things are looking pretty good for Mordechai. Amalek is going to be completely destroyed and that's that. Benahapahu, as we said, that the dice that landed on Agag, 133, got turned over and became David. That's what ended up happening over here.
Why didn't they think like that when he originally came to them with that idea of annihilating all the Jews?
The what? Say that the Jews are there? At that time, they looked up in the stars and they saw that the Jews were going to be destroyed anyway. Because at that time, the Ksav, the Gzar Din and Shemayim had already been made that Ye Kasev Le'abdom, that they were supposed to be destroyed. But they got turned around by the tefillos and the fasting. And that's the power of the Jew. That we have the ability to turn things around completely and make it completely different. Odim Adabrimo, they were still speaking to him, Vesarisa Amelech Igiyu. The officers of the king came by. V'yavhilu L'havias Haman. They quickly brought Haman al Mishta Asher Asta Aster to the Mishta that Esther made. Right? That's ready. V'yavo Hamelech V'haman Lishtos Im Esther Amalka. This is in Perek Zion. Haman and the king came to drink with Esther Hamalka. Right? The wine obviously lifted up his spirits. So even though he thought he had his suspicions about Esther and Haman, wondering what was going on over here. Haman also probably smelled absolutely horrible after having the garbage pulled on him and he wasn't able to take a shower whatsoever, and he was in a velos. Just tell me what you want, everything you need, and then it will be out. If it's my fate, found favor in your eyes. is the king. Give me my soul as my request and my people as my asking. He said, because we have been sold, me and my people, to be destroyed, to killed, and be murdered. And if we were just sold as slaves or maidservants or something like that, that's what we were sold for, I'd be silent. Because such pain is not equal. Suffering would not be equal to the king's loss. That's not something that the king would have to deal with. But this is not worry. He tricked you. He didn't know where I was from. He didn't know what was going on over here. He tricked you into making you think that this is going to be the best thing. Who is this person, and what kind of a person would fill up his heart to do such a thing, to kill the queen, to kill all the Jews in such a kingdom? He had been convinced by Haman that the Jews were guilty of some things, and now he was proven that they were innocent. Or, because he loved Esther so much, he was willing to overlook all the sins of all the people there to be able to help her over here.
She never identified herself yet as Jewish.
Esther?
Yeah.
Not yet.
Yeah.
Well, she said, Ami Vivakshasi, my people. She'd been... No, it has to be.
She could have been from somewhere else.
No, but Ami Vivakshasi... No, Ami sounds like she was saying my people, meaning she was admitting now I'm for sure Jewish. Right, and that's that. But then, right, as she said that, we all know the famous Vatomer Esther, Ish Tsar Voyev, an evil and hateful man. Haman Harazeth, says the Medrash, that she was pointing at Achashverosh for a little while. Ish Tsar Voyev, and a Malach pushed her finger toward Haman. Haman Harazeth, this evil Haman. Vahaman Yivas Milifnei HaMelech HaMalka, and he all of a sudden was scared. He shrank in front of the king and queen. And he got up in his anger from the Mishayan, Oginas Abison, to the garden of the palace. Now he realized that he had completely messed up. Completely and utterly messed up. Esther was not having an affair with Haman. That wasn't happening over here. Esther was 100% against Haman and wanted to destroy Haman. How had he been so foolish? Maybe there were other things that Haman did. Maybe everything. Maybe Bigson and Seresh were really behind Haman. Maybe that's what's going on over here. So he got up to the garden of the palace. So Haman Amal Levakish al Nafsho. Haman stood up in order to plead for himself. Esther Amalka Kiroki Kosol of Aroma Isabelach. He saw that the evil was now in the hands of the king. But now it became so crazy. He sat there and he's like, hold on a second. Something's wrong. And then the Malachim came into play. A bunch of Malachim were chopping down trees in the orchard. He's like, what are you guys doing? They said, Haman said that when he becomes king, he wants to get rid of all these trees. He's like, what in the world? Then he saw some of the sons of Haman, which were really Malachim in disguise, getting the gallows ready. Right? And he's like, what's this for? He said, to hang Mordechai. Hang Mordechai. Mordechai is the one that I want to be able to help. So he goes back thinking, right, he's still in a drunken state. He's like, uh-oh, what's going to happen with him, with Esther itself? As he walked in, a Malach pushed Haman right on top of Esther. He fell on top of Esther, and it seemed like he was trying to choke her. He came back to that area right over there. He fell down in the bed of Sher Esther Allah. What is he going to attack the queen with me in the house like this? As soon as the word came out from the mouth of the king, they immediately covered up Haman's face. It's crazy, absolutely crazy that it happened right over there. Since that had happened right at that time, it could even be that Esther like got involved and like, Haman's attacking me. You know, when that had not really just happened, right? Everything like that. Right now, he was worried about what's going to happen over here. So he had... Yeah, that's the hood was put on top of Yomar Harvona. Harvona sat on the Sarisim with Namel. He's one of the officers in front of the king. Remember, we had Harvona up above. Gam, Hina Itza Shu'asam and the Mordechai Shadibur Tov al Melech. Here is the tree that Haman made for Mordechai. And he also said, you know what? This tree is probably good for the king as well. Omid Bebeis Haman, Gavoa Chamishmav, was standing in the house of Haman, is 50 Amos, Tov, Yomar Melech, Tulu, Alav. The king said, put him on top of her over here. That's the idea behind it. Harvona, right, was the one who was standing in front. Remember, he's the one that knew about Bigson and Seresh. He's the one that knew everything from the beginning about Haman. He finally gets up and says, this is what Haman's like. Haman had said that he was part of the entire conspiracy with everything like that. Pasuk Yud, Vayislu, Es Haman Ala Itza Shurahich, Lemordechai, Vachamas Melech Shachacha. They hung Haman on the tree that they had prepared for Mordechai, and the wrath of the king abated. Now, there still was a problem. There still was an edict against the Jews. Yehudi gave her the whole house of Haman, enemy of the Jews. And then Mordechai came in front of the king, because Esther said the connection that there was between Mordechai and Esther itself. Once this went through, no people were actually going to fight right, the Jews themselves, in another year for what's going to happen over here. He took up the ring that he had given, right, that he had taken away from Haman, and he gave it over to Mordechai. And Mordechai was put in charge by Esther on top of Beis Haman to be able to make sure that those things are going to be done. Now, obviously, the first thing that Mordechai did is he let the entire house know that it's under my control. He took Haman's children, right, as slaves themselves. He distributed Haman's wealth to all the Jews, and then obviously hung the 10 children that we know of. She then spoke to the king again. She fell in front of his feet. She cried and she pleaded to remove the evil of Haman Agagi and the evil thoughts that he had tried to do, the schemes that he had tried to do on the Jews themselves. Right, that's what Esther. So the king held out the golden scepter, and Esther stood up and stood in front of the king itself. It's interesting, right? What was Esther supposed to do? Beg for the Jews' lives, right? She didn't do that. She asked for Haman to be killed. Now she comes back to ask for the Jews to be saved. She never said what she was supposed to say in the first place. She was supposed to get up and say, save the Jews, don't let them be killed. But she didn't do it. She didn't do what she said she was supposed to do, what Mordechai had said for her to do. Now she's coming back a little bit later. It could be that she saw it was an opportune moment to be able to get Haman. Haman's star was quickly falling down. He no longer had the getchko around his neck. He took it off because he had been filled with garbage. So he threw the getchko off his neck. She said, this is the time to be able to take care of him right now. That's exactly what she said. And now, she's saying, after a couple days later, or whatever it is, she said, all right, it's time to save all of the Jews in the kingdom. She stood up in front of the king. Pasuk Hey. She said, if it's good for the king, and if I find favor in his eyes, and the matter is good in the eyes of the king, and I'm good in front of his eyes, he should bring back the Sfarim, which was the plot of Haman ben Amadasa Agagi, who had written to destroy the Jews throughout all the countries of the king. How could I possibly go in and see the evil that's going to happen to my people? How could I possibly see all the evil that's going to happen over me? Now, granted, the people probably won't fight the Jews, but there's such Jew haters in the world. If we leave this edict in place, there's going to be a chash that maybe there's some policemen, there's some people out there that are going to help them destroy many Jews. I can't allow that to happen. It's got to be something different. We're going to have to make a new announcement, something that's going to be a little bit different. So in Pasuk Zayin, by Yom Ramel Chashur Slaster, Amalkul Amorcha Yehudi, in a base Haman Nesati Lester, I gave you already the house of Haman, but also Talo Aleitz, you hung him on a tree, Al-Shar Shalach Lobi Yehudim, Yodav Yehudim, because you went ahead and he sent his hand against the Jews. Now write for the Jews in the name of B'Shem Melech, in the name of the king, whatever is good in your eyes. The Chisma B'Tavas Melech, and sign it with the seal of the king, with the ring of the king. Because anything that's written in the name of the king and sealed with the ring of the king cannot be brought back. And that was the plan. The plan was, if we, obviously, Haman's missives and everything that had gone through cannot be taken back. It can't be retracted. He said it. It's going to go through. That's going to happen. But we can write another edict that will supersede that edict. The first edict is that the Jews, right, are going to have to be fought against. You can fight against any Jew. Let's make another edict that Jews are now allowed to put up a fight. They're allowed to get weapons, and they can prepare themselves for all that. That's the idea of what's going to be over here. So he said, they called out the Sofra Melech in that time, in the third month, which is Sivan, in the 23rd day of that month, because of Choshe Sivan Mordechai Yehudim, and they wrote everything that Mordechai was instructed to write to the Jews, and all the leaders, and according to every Jew, right around everywhere. So these letters were written on the 23rd of Sivan.
She waited 2 weeks to do this? I mean, 2 months.
I think it took that long for everything to be done, right? Meaning 16th of Nisan was when Haman was hung.
Right.
Mordechai and Esther thought it was good to be able to make it a little bit of a lengthy time before approaching the king with an edict. Remember, the law was not coming into fruition until Yud Gimel Adar of the next year. They had a long time, but they wanted everything to get over with Haman itself.
127 provinces.
That's true, but they were also worried about what's going to happen if the edict is not sent out. See, they tried to formulate a plan to try to make sure that everything was going to be done properly and according to plan. Remember, the edict had only been sent out on the 12th of Nisan. maybe in the 13th of Nisan. So it's not like it had, you know, gone out right beforehand. So that was something like that. So that's the idea behind it. Some say that it was Haman's kids that had to go everywhere. But either way, all these people by very, very fast horses. They could gather together and stand up for themselves. They could fight and destroy and kill any nation that goes up against them, their enemies, their women and children, and all of their property they could plunder. It should all happen on the 13th of that month of Adar itself. That had happened over here, right? He had composed the letters, right? And it could be that the king himself rewrote it in very strong terms. That Mordechai had sent it originally, and then afterward is going to be there. But this is the first time in a long time that the Jews had had unity, where they felt like they could work together. And that's what it means, that they could gather together in order to go through, right? That's the idea. Pashegen Aksav. Right, the content of those letters, was to give out the law to every country, and make it revealed to all the nations, that all the Jews should be ready for that day, to take revenge of all their enemies. Those people that were sitting on the camels and the different types of animals, whatever it is, they went out quickly, rushed, right, through the word of the king, and the law was given over in Shushan HaBira for them to be able to arm themselves, to organize themselves, to get themselves ready. This is going to be wherever it was supposed to go. It's weird, though. The messengers didn't quite know what to do. They saw the letter the first time. Now they see what's happening over here. They, it didn't make any sense, but then they realized, okay, it must be that, you know, that Haman was killed, and that's the reason why these things were going on. You know, a lot of people started getting involved with the Torah because they saw Mordechai, and this Mordechai is in charge now. They started listening to his words and started listening to his speeches, and he always set out deeper Torah. Mordechai yatzam b'lefnei ha'melech v'levush malchus. He wore the clothing of the king, tchilus v'chur, both blue and white, ater zahav gidola, with a large golden crown, misachar boots v'argamon, as well as fine linen as purple wool. Va'ir Shushan tzalav v'smeichon. The city of Shushan was tzahala v'smeicha. Right now they saw that everything was going around. It's fun. It's funny because this Tchelas Vachur is referring to his tzitzis, yeah. He wore tzitzis that had, obviously, Tchelas on top of it. And that's that. So everybody would know that he was 100% a Jew. And that's what everybody did. Fine. New. At this time, the Jews were filled with Oira, which stands for Torah. Simcha. Right? I forgot what simcha was. Sason is bris milah, vikor, and tefillin. They were proud of all the mitzvot that they had not been able to do beforehand. Now they were proud to be a Jew. What's that song? Ivri an yochav yitz Hashem elokim Hashem ayin v'nir. That new song that's out there by Benny Friedman. V'chol medino medino v'chol yivri ir. Every single country, every single city, mekom esher devar melevet esam magia, wherever the king's word and wherever his law reached. Simcha v'sason la'yehudim. It was a very happy day for the Jews. Mishtevi Yom Tov. It was a day of feasting as well as a Yom Tov. There were many Amiarets, the people of the land, that decided they were going to become Jews. Because the fear of the Jews went upon them. Now, the problem was that they did this Miyira. This was Tshuva Miyira, or if you want to call it that way, they became Gerim out of fear. That is not a full Jew. And that's why it says Misyahadim. They acted like Jews, but they were not actually Jews. They were not Megairim, like they could have. They did not become Gerim. That was that. Those Jews who had abandoned the commandments and had started doing other things, whatever it is, now they came back. They were ready to come back and start recommitting themselves to Judaism. Now, Tartas. In the 12th month, which is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of Adar, the day that they had hoped for, all the enemies of the Jews, where the law of the king went out, so they could rule over them. And it turned the opposite. At this point, it was the exact opposite. The Jews now ruled over their enemies. All the Jews gathered together in their cities and all the countries of the king to put a hand upon those who had wanted to hurt them. Right? No man stood in front or before them. Because their pachad came to every single person from every single nation. The people were absolutely afraid to be able to go against the Jews, and what had happened over here, they wouldn't even appear in the streets. Pasuk Gimel. All the officers of the lands, as well as all the nobles and all the all the Chasheva guys, those who were doing work for the king, right? So they supported the Jews because the fear of Mordechai had gone upon them as well. Because he was so great in the house of the king, and his fame was spread throughout all of the lands. Because the man, Gadol, Mordechai had become even greater and greater. He was influential, he was powerful. In fact, he was authorized by the king to mint coins in the empire. So he was in charge of all the different things. He was in charge of the palace, he was in charge of the military, he was in charge of the cities as well. He was there. So the Jews killed their enemies, a tremendous striking with the sword that destroyed them. Yasub was the name Kirotzonam. And they did whatever they wanted to do in their case. No one came to their defense, and nobody tried killing them. And not only that, right, they were able to kill not only those people, but Shushan Abir Horgi Yehudva Abed, Chamesh Mios Ish, Ves Parshan Dos, Ves Tafon, Ves Aspos, Ves Poros, Ves Edal, Ves Aridos, Ves Parmash, Ves Arisa, Ves Arida, Ves Vaisos, Aseres, Vene Amon, Vene Amadosa, Tzor, Yehudim, Horgu, Babizos, Lo Shalchos Yadam. Not bad, right? I did that. Just saying.
Was it the right thing to do for the Jews to kill all these people?
Yes and no. A Amalek, remember. When it's a Amalek, we have the right to do so.
Fine, but this wasn't all a Amalek.
No, the Amalekim were the only people they killed. That's all they killed.
Where did they learn that?
So, because it was the enemies that we're referring to over here. So that's that. Meaning that's where we get everything from, that it all came from the Hamanites, we'll call them, the people from Haman. That's also why the Gemara says that Haman had 500 sons. Now, I don't know if that's to be taken literally. I probably would assume not. But it means he had 500 people that were around him. These were the people that they killed. They killed only the Amalekim to be able to get these down. This was Mechias Amalek, the third time. Yoshua was Vayachalosh them, right? He weakened them. They were able to destroy them a little bit later, right, by the times of Shaul HaMelech. But this was really the final blow against the Amalekim. We have all these 10 sons over here of Bnei Haman, right? And they did not, Babiza lo shalchus yadam, they refused to take any money. They didn't want it to be seen that they were doing this for money. They were doing this because they understood these people had to be destroyed. That's the idea behind it. So it does say over here, the Amalek says in three different places, 10 sons of Haman were singled out, but there were 500 Hamanites who were killed by Mordechai's followers. Those are the people that we're talking about over here. Those are the people that they ended up killing. Now, there are quite a few crazy lines over here. So I don't know if you remember when, in 1947, when they found the Nazis in Ashraman that had been hiding out, and they did the famous Nuremberg trials. Yeah, they went through. So we all know the last one there, I forgot what his name was, he called out loud, Purimfest 1947 or something like that. So it is interesting. There were 11 people that were caught, but one of them committed suicide the night before, so only 10 of them were hung the very next day. The 10th got up and said Purimfest 1947. If you look down in these numbers, there's three letters that are small. You see that little shin?
Yeah.
See that little Zion? And there's a little tuf right around somewhere, right? The little tuf. Tuf Shin Zion is the year 1947. That's what it refers to, which is really interesting.
Stuff.
It is. It truly is. What Tuf Shin Zion is doing, why those three letters are small, we don't really know. There is no reason. I mean, that we know, there's nothing there. This is the only given reason, and it's weird. It's just weird.
What did this guy know about Purim?
I doubt anything. That's the strangest part. I forgot who it was. It was the last one to be killed, and it's famous. Somebody like Himmler or something like that. I forgot what his name was. Right, anyway. On that day, the number of those killed ended up coming to the king himself to be given over to him itself. So it's at Vayomer HaMelech Esther HaMalka, the king said to Esther the queen, B'Shushan HaBira Yish Horgu HaYehudim V'Abed Chamesh Meos Ish. In Shushan HaBira, the Jews killed and destroyed 500 men. Vesaseres Bnei Amon, Bishar Medinos HaMelech, Ma'asu. Not only that, but the 10 sons of Amon. What do you think they did in all the other lands? However, then he was slapped by a Malach, and he said, fine, Ma'ishallah Seich, what else do you want? V'Nasin Lach, he'll be given to you Ma'avach Seich, Od V'Seyal, V'Atomer Esterim, Ma'al HaMelech Tov, V'Nasin Gam Mocher L'Yudem HaShir Shubishu, Shushan L'Asus G'dav Seyom. Let them continue tomorrow. Vesaseres Bnei Amon, Yisrael Eitz, and the 10 sons of Haman, they should hang up on the tree, hang on the gallows. Yer Melech L'Asus Kain. The king said to do so, V'Tinasin Das B'Shushan, Vesaseres Bnei Amon, Tolu. They hung all 10 children. Now it seems that they were already decapitated. So they were hung by the top of their necks, and that's how they were hung over there, which is pretty cool, because that's why we say in Mo's Sur, Rov Banav V'Kinyanav Alei Salisa. Most of his sons and all of his stuff were hung on the tree. Most of his sons, wait, these are 10 out of 208 kids. Why is that most of his kids? Because most of the kids were hung. The head was not, because the head was already decapitated. That's that. What are you going to say, Dave?
It was a newspaper article that declared Purim Fest, and it was 1946.
Oh, that's still okay. Because Tufshin Zion would have started in 1946. September would have been 1946, Tufshin Zion. What time is it?
What do you mean?
Well, what day? What date?
When the Nuremberg trial?
No, no, no. When was the newspaper that said it?
Oh, I don't think it says. It just said it was before they were hung, so it was that time. Hold on. This is an article about the article.
What? Yeah, who was the last guy?
No, but it wasn't the guy who said it. It was the newspaper article who wrote it.
Wasn't the guy?
No.
That kills the whole board.
Look. Read the first paragraph of this article.
The haunting connection between these two areas. Explain the premise of the... Okay. Goring. Yeah, it was Goring. That's it.
No.
A well-known actor crossed was also committed suicide. Oh, he was not hung. That's right. In fact, Julius Streicher... Yeah, that's it. Julius Streicher, the Nazi editor of the anti-Semitic Der Sturmer newspaper, even proclaimed before he was hung, Purim Fest 1946. He said it.
I think he also said some other things too after that.
It might have been also. But that was the famous one, Purim Fest 1946. But 1946, it was after the times. It was Tufshin Zion already. That was the point. Isn't that crazy?
October. 16th.
October. Perfect. After Rosh Hashanah.
October 16th.
We'd have to look up exactly when it is, but I would assume it's right after Rosh Hashanah. Come on, that's not the craziest thing you've ever heard. It's like the weirdest thing in the world. Why did he say Purim Fest 1946? Right, 1946.
After that, he said to the hangman, may your Jewish masters serve you as they serve me. So the hangman said, help you in faith, say those words so you can choke on them. So adjusted the noose so that the guy would choke instead of having his neck broken.
Really? You know, the guy who did it, it just came out not too long ago, who it was. Nobody knew who the executioner was, but it turned out he was a Sephardi guy. They wouldn't allow an Ashkenazic Jew to do it because they were afraid that they were going to make them suffer too much. So they had a Sephardi guy do it, and the guy came out not too long. He's still alive. He came out and he spoke about what it was like to hang the 10 Nazis. Come on. It's not
Rosh Hashanah was September 26th and 27th.
Yes! Tufshin Zion. Perfect. It's crazy. It's really crazy. I had no doubt. I had absolutely no doubt. It's the craziest thing in the world. Oh, my God. This just doesn't make any sense. I'd love to hear the reason for this. Anyway, that is that. What else do you want? She said, we want another day. But you're like, okay, the king said it should happen. You know what's crazy about this, though? How in the world were they supposed to kill the Amalekim? We're going to kill all the Jews in one day? Is that possible? There's no way to kill all the Jews in one day. Hitler did an unbelievable job of killing the Jews. It took more than one day, obviously, and that's to kill not even all of them. What was Haman thinking? The answer is Purim, the lotteries. It started in Yud Gimel Adar. It was supposed to go for many, many days. Sasser said, since it was supposed to go for many, many days, and that's why it was called Purim, the lotteries that Haman made, therefore give us permission to do even more. And that's that. So there we got Vayikwalua, Yehudim Asher Shuvim Gam Yomar Ba'asur LaChodesh Ador. They got together on the 14th of Adar. Vayargu B'Shushan. They killed in Shushan Shlosh Meshishan, another 300 men of Abizal L'Shol Chosenim. Once again, they did not take any of the money whatsoever. Don't worry about that. They got all of those. The people that were right over there. Ushar Ayudim Asher Medunas Melech Kalav Omen Al Nafshan V'Noach Me'Abeim V'Harog B'Sonayim Chamisha V'Shiv Melech. The other Jews that were all in the Medunas of the king, they got up and they stood up for themselves. They got rest from their enemies, and they killed among their enemies 75,000 people. But again, they did not take any money. On the 13th of Adar, Bo, they rested on the 14th. Also Yom Mishtev V'Simcha, and they made it into a day of Mishtev V'Simcha. They were happy on that day for what they were able to do. They gathered together on the 13th and the 14th. They rested on the 15th. Also Yom Mishtev V'Simcha, and they made that day Mishtev V'Simcha. All these Jews that were living in the open cities, all over the world, they made the 14th of that day of Adar Simcha, Mishteh, Yomtiv, and Mishloach Manos Ish L'Reyehu. The Mishloach Manos was done specifically so that there would be more Achdus, since the whole din was Vayikoalu. They gathered together in order to go around. Therefore, we have a din of Mishloach Manos of bringing people together. It is interesting right? Because Yom Tif is mentioned over here. We did not accept upon ourselves Yom Tif. We're going to see that afterward, later on. Well, that's because Megillah Zuhi Hilula. That's what it says in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah, because the Kriyas Megillah is called the Hallow, right? But they didn't make it into a Yom Tif. And the reason why is because afterward they said, no, we're not turning this into a full Yom Tif. Because why? Because we're still in Golos. Because we're still outside of Eretz Yisrael. So they decided not to make it into a full Yom Tov. He wrote down all of these things. And he sent Sfarim to all the Jews that are all the Medinas of Melech HaKashverosh, Akrovim Arachokim, those far away and those close. They should do the 14th and 15th and keep them as holidays. These are like the days that they rested from their enemies. And they turn this month from sadness into happiness, from mourning into Yom Tov. Those days, and it does not mention Yom Tov. Again, Mishloach Manos, Matanos Avyonim, Yom Mishav Simcha, but it doesn't say anything. He didn't want them to forget, and he wanted to make sure that they were going to observe everything that was going to be over there. So that's that. You have to have a Sudas Purim, you have to have Mishloach Manos, you're going to have Matanos Avyonim. Those are the Gantz, the idea that we're supposed to do on that day. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, the Kivul Yehudim, the Jews accepted what they had already begun and what Mordechai had told them to do. They said, like, party? Party. We're in. They all accepted it, and they all were willing to do it. That Haman, son of Hamadasa, the Agagi, enemy of all the Jews, thought about the Jews or considered plotted against the Jews to exterminate them. The Ipo Pura Garol. And he put together a pur, which was the lottery, Luhumam Ula Abdom, to destroy them. Boa with Nana, when she came to the king of Mari Masefer, she said she found with writing, Yashu Mashabto Ara, to turn away the evil thoughts of Shechashav Elidah that he thought about the Jews, Al Rosho upon his own head, the Selos of Esban of Alayitz, and then they were hung, him and his sons, upon the tree itself. That's what ended up happening over here. There was a big machlokas, whether everybody wanted to accept it. Listen, we have a lot of problems nowadays with a day like Yom HaTzmaut, where you don't have a lot of Jews accepting it. I don't know if you knew that, but it wasn't accepted by everybody. Can you make that into a Chag or a Yom Tif when not everybody accepts it? Well, the same problem happened by Purim. It was not accepted by the people. They did not all agree with it. And why there were not? Explanations, because even though Mordechai was a Navi, not everyone wanted to accept the idea that a new Chag could be created. They're like, listen, you guys in Shushan want to celebrate? We're totally fine with that. You can make your own, because every individual or city can make their own chagim. You can do that. You can have like a Sudas Odah. We're okay with that. But to make a full-blown chag for everybody among the Jews, they thought like Esther. If Esther wouldn't have saved them, somebody else would have saved them. It wouldn't have been that big of a deal. And they didn't appreciate it in the same way. But once they heard the entire story, how it was replete with miracles, and how Mordechai kept trying to help everyone, whatever it is, and how it went through, once they heard the entire story all the way through, they realized, okay, we have to celebrate something. This was extremely special. This was different from everything else. That, unfortunately, never happened. We never had a guy like Mordechai who got up and convinced the Gedolim that they should listen. Mordechai went straight to Hanani, Mishael, Azariah. Daniel, if he was still alive. Chag, Zechariah, Malachi. Ezra, Nehemiah, Zerubbabel. He went to them and said, listen to me, this is what we're doing. He said it to them, and they accepted. Eventually, they accepted. Al Kain, Karli Yom Ha'ela Purim. That's why they call these days Purim.
Wait, you're saying that's why we don't celebrate Yom HaTzmaut like that? Yeah, but it was a secular war.
It went wrong. Yeah, it went wrong. It was started by the secular Jews, and they asked the religious Jews to accept it. That can't happen. It has to be started by the religious Jews, and the secular Jews would accept it.
Yeah, obviously not starting.
Which means that you couldn't make it into a chag. It never made it. Can you say halal? Say tehillim. Tehillim is nice. I like blue and white donuts, especially if it has a little flag stuck inside them. Those, I don't mind. You know what? I'll eat them, right? But should you celebrate it the way, whatever it is, and whatever.
They serve falafel here.
They what? They do. They serve falafel here, and they have the best cupcakes ever. I love those cupcakes.
It's the only time they do it, that
what? That's falafel? Well, yeah, they have falafel.
One of the only.
Yeah, but either way, but I'm totally
to
in.
Say
yeah, 100%. I could say halal for that. I'll say halal for that. Yeah, it doesn't take much for me not to say tachnun. It's like, oh, it's a Tuesday? I'm done. No tachnun for me. No, I'm joking. I have my shita. My shita is whatever shul I'm in, I do what the shul does. That's my shita. So it happens to be that I'm not the most normal when it comes to that. I do say tachnun, but I don't do tachnun where anybody can see me. But if they're saying halal, I'll say halal without a bracha, obviously. Right? And I'll say tehillim. No, he's going by saying tell him. You know what's interesting? Rav Avadia Yosef used to say everything after everything was done. then he'd say halal without a bracha. He'd do halal without a bracha. But there are those that say you should say halal with a bracha. I totally understand it. There's no question it was miracles. I don't think anybody's denying that. It's a question on whether or not you can make a chag for it. That's the only question. I hear it. It's a halachic issue. I hear that. Anyway, Mordechai went and wrote it to the Jews that they should accept it. Al kain, karli yamei ela purim. Al shema pur. They did it because of the lottery. Al kain, al kol divrei geres hazos. And they did that on all of the words of this letter. Ma'aro al kachom agi alem. About what they had seen and what had happened to them. Kimu v'kiblu ayuhudim alem v'alzarim v'alkolin yovim alem v'lo yavor. They accepted, re-accepted upon themselves and on them, on their children as well, and on everybody who was connected with them. V'lo yavor. It would not be changed. That they would do these 2 days and keep Purim according to what they had written and according to their Zman, and every single year would be the exact same thing. These days were going to be remembered and done in every generation. Mishpachu, mishpachu, medina, medina, every family, every medina, v'ir, v'ir. These days of Purim would not be removed or abandoned by the Jews. And their memory will never die out from their children. They'll always remember this day. Purim will always be remembered by every single person in each person. And part of this is, b'chol dor v'dor, mishpachu, mishpachu, medina, medina. We purposely want it to be a family holiday. We wanted it to be not as a regular whatever it is. We want it to be a special holiday where everybody's going to be able to celebrate. Tichtov Esther Amalka Vasavichayo. Mordechai Yud is called Tokef L'kayim Esigar Zapurim Azos Hashenis. The Queen Esther, obviously, right? The daughter of Avichayo. Mordechai HaYehudi. They wrote down with authority, confirming the second letter of Purim itself. They wanted to do it again. In the second year, they said, no, 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 we want to do this. We want to keep this day automatically. Now, there were big issues with this. They said, you know what? We're okay with keeping Purim when things are good. But who says we should keep Purim when things are bad? The same with like these fast days that we have, Tzom Gedalia and Asar B'Tavis and whatever it is, they'll go away when Mashiach comes back and the third base of Mikdash is rebuilt. Purim, it's a good day when things are happy for the Jews. But maybe we shouldn't celebrate it if things are going wrong with the Jews. To that, Mordechai said, that's not enough. I need it to be more. And they wrote the Sefer again, or for the first time really, for them to be able to go through, obviously with Ruach HaKodesh, but it was written together so that everybody understood what was going on here. What's up?
So if there was a question as to whether or not to celebrate it as a Yom Tov.
Yeah.
Was there a same question to accept a fast, a public fast like that? Because we had that Sefer...
Megillas Tainus.
Yeah.
It wasn't Megillas Tainus. This is one of the only two things that were left in, this and Hanukkah. Nothing else was left in.
So it was unilaterally accepted that we should fast the day before we...
Tainus Esther?
Yeah.
I don't know when that was started, the honest truth. It could have been started later on. It's likely that it was started later on.
So
it's
then the weakest of all the fast days. Controversial?
I think it is just as controversial, meaning we're more makel about all the halachos. It's not like the four fast days. You know, everything has to do with the Beis Hamikdash, with Tisha B'Av, Asar B'Tavis, Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and Tzom Gedalia. It's not like them. It is a different status altogether. But the full status is, all right, that's Akasha. We're more machmir when it comes to that. But either way, Vishal Sfarma Kol Yehudim Al-Shav Vesrim Umeya Medina, they sent out books to all the Jews, to the 127 Medinas, Machos HaKashverish, Divrei Shalom Ve'emes, words of peace as well as truth, L'kayim Yisim Yapurim Eila, that they should all keep these days of Purim, Bizmaneim, in their proper time, Kashar Kim Alei Mordechai Yudu, like Mordechai Yudu Vesrim Al-Kad Tol adjourned them to do, Kashar Kim Al Nafshan, like they accept upon themselves, Al-Zarim Divrei Atomos HaKasom, the same way they'd accepted the order to fast and to pray, you know, the time for Esther itself, like when Esther said it's time to be able to do that, right? They did that. It could be it's also a reference to Tzom Gedalia, to the Tainus Esther. Maimar Esther Kiyam Divrei Apurim Eila. Esther was confirmed all these words of the rules of Purim. V'nichtav Sefer was all written down in a scroll itself. That is that. There were other people that wanted to have a chag on the 16th of Nisan. They thought that might be the best thing altogether, but they said no.
Why?
They didn't want to combine it with Pesach
that's
itself.
When really everything started?
Yeah, because that's the day that everybody was saved, and that's where everything happened over altogether. And they, not only that, but once they saw Megillas Esther itself, right, they also decided that there was going to be part of the Apocryphy, that it was going to be part of the 24 books of Tanakh. They realized the Ruach HaKodesh that was in it. They didn't accept the Sefer written on Hanukkah, Megillus Antiochus, the stuff of Maisi Yehudis, right? They didn't accept that into being a Sefer. But this they accepted. They saw the Ruach HaKodesh that was involved with this and all the different things. They accepted that it would be written on parchment like a Torah scroll and written like a Torah scroll, etc., and things like that. But that they ended up doing.
So where do we get all the halachos of having to read it? And
that all comes from the Gemara and from what the Rabbanan decided based on what the pasuk, what these things said, meaning how Mordechai had established the 14th and the 15th day to be those days when they were going to read. It says that by, the word is Yikoru Shenis or something like that. That's the reason why it's written that way. One last thing over here. It is interesting that it says, what did I want to say over here? Vayishach Sfarim, you sent out the Sfarim. They kept Purim. What was the last thing that I wanted to say? Yeah, they kept everything they wanted to do. Esther had been accepted. Oh, I forgot the last thing I wanted to say. There was something important that I wanted to say over here, but dang, I forgot it. Okay. Either way, but Megillas Esther was then eventually, I don't know if it was immediate, but eventually accepted by the people. Everybody does it. Even Sardim. I mean, it was accepted by Sardim and Ashkenazim alike, you know, by all the people that were around at the time. Not that there was a division of Ashkenazi and Sardi back then, but meaning by all the different people wherever they were. They all accepted it. They all did it. And it was an awesome time for the Jews. It was one time where we had all gotten together. We had had pure Achdus, and they put it all together to be able to see everything she had done by Yosem. HaMelech HaShverosh Masal Arz V'Yayam. HaShverosh put a tax upon the land and the islands of the sea. He had to make up for all the money they had lost during his party years earlier. So he started to tax people all over again. Maybe there were people that were taking revenge. Maybe there was rebellions. Maybe he wanted to put together another army over here. Either way, that's what he did. All the stories of his strength and his power, Uparshas Gedulas Mordechai, as well as the greatness of Mordechai itself, Asher Gidlo Amel, the king had raised him up. You can check them out in the books of Persia and Mede and what had happened over there. That's the concept that he put together. Now, the next thing he did, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi, Mordechai HaYehudi, Mishnah L'Melech HaShverosh, he was second in command to the king of HaShverosh, Gadol HaYehudim, he's great for the Jews, V'Ratzi L'Rav HaKavan, he was wanted by most of his generation. Most of his brothers were very happy with him. Dorish Tov L'Amovit, Dover Shalom L'Chol Azaro. He spoke out good things for his people, and he spoke about peace, right, for all of his children as well. Now, there's a lot that happened over here. If you notice, it says, Mordechai Yehudi, Gadol LaYehudim Baratzui LaRovecha. He's wanted by most of his brothers. There were people that argued with Mordechai, and they said, you did wrong. When Mordechai started getting involved with the Gerim, right, and Mordechai started getting involved with the king of Shushan, with Achashverosh, they said, Mordechai, you shouldn't get involved. There's no reason for you to get involved. Stop it and do something else instead. That's what they wanted to do. They wanted him to stop and go somewhere else and do something else. Mordechai disagreed. He felt that it was going to be a greater good for him to have a public office and for him to help the Jews wherever they were needed. He didn't wait for them. He wanted to find ways to be able to help the Jews and to be able to get them whatever it is, so he interceded with everybody. So Mordechai went around. There was machlokas. Mordechai went with the Balei Tshuva, tried to help the people that were trying to do Tshuva and trying to help them. And they said, the Chachamim said, you should just sit and learn Torah all day. You're wrong, Mordechai. That's not what you should be doing right now. Go do something else instead. That was the difference between the two of them altogether. Okay. That is the pshat of why he's Ratzoi only Lerov Echov. Book of Esther contains... Oh, what happened to him? Some say he stayed in Bavel and then he died there. He does seem to have a kever in Bavel itself. Others say that he went back to Eretz Yisrael, right, and eventually helped them build the second base of Mikdash. The Book of Esther, some say he is... Anybody know? Mordechai is... Malachi. Malachi might be Mordechai. It could be that it's Ezra. The Book of Esther contains 166 verses. That's the amount of words in the portion of Amalek altogether. It starts with the word Vayihi and ends with the word Zaro. Altogether, that's 314, which is Singamatres Shakai, Shin Dalad Yud. And we already talked about Tilim Chaf Beis. That was the idea behind it. All right, Shkoyach, guys, we will stop with that.
What are we doing next?
I think we're going to go to Rus. Right before Shavuos. Either Rus or we'll do maybe we'll do Shir Hashirim first and whatever it is, but we're going to have to do the what's called the Megillahs before.